Rodgers in trouble. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
Pressure, pass is picked off, and who is it? Big B.J. Raji for the touchdown.
Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And today we have a special guest, our friend, Tom Grassi of the Packcast. Tom, thank you. Thank you for joining the show.
Maggie, appreciate you. Thank you. Perry, thank you for having me. First time, big fan, long time listener, first time caller. It's good to be here in this kitchen.
Yeah, as we record from the Airbnb three blocks from Lambeau Field, because that's what we're going to talk about today, Perry. We're talking about training camp.
Training camp.
This is literally the first time we've also actually recorded a show together in person at a random table, so.
Yeah, we've got one big microphone for all of us.
So yeah, we've got that going for us, which is nice, but.
Yeah, we just finished up our third day of practice. Three of three, because that was the last practice before our first preseason game on Saturday. It's true. Tom, it's very true. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I want to say that the weather today was fantastic.
No, not those thoughts.
Oh, not those thoughts. Okay. You know, camp has been an experience. Yesterday was like a little slow, a little just shells only, and, you know, really not a whole lot, but they were amping it up today, and I think the first day was still the best one, though. First practice was really, really good.
Yeah.
There was just a ton of action. Amari Rodgers, like, I feel like makes a diving catch every time. Even, like, yesterday when he's, like, not supposed to. He's just diving and, like, catching a random ball coming out of a machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an impressive man.
Yeah, today I was like, can you stop? Because, like, I don't really want you to get hurt.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. I made a joke today, like, someone's got to get an ump out there to check Big Bob Tunyon's hands before sticky stuff, because that guy doesn't drop anything. He's becoming like one of Rogers' security blankets.
I'm so excited to just see him like go off, like, because like this is unfortunately the off season where everyone complains about Madden rankings and like the fact that like Tunyon's like not even like a blip on there. Like, let's go. Like,
I mean, to be fair though, there was literally nothing else that happened around the Packers, so Madden ratings were like a really important thing that we really talk important. About.
Yeah. Right, really dry off season had to focus on a video game.
No, yeah, nothing. Can't think of the thing.
Tom, before we talk about training camp a little more, give us some background on Packcast, what it's like to be back in Green Bay, how everything started.
All right. So just like for the listeners, this is going to be about a 45-minute story, so just strap in because it's going to be a long one. No, so Packcast, you know, started off just audio. Then we went to the YouTubes. This was back in 2015. Started the whole thing because of the NFC Championship game. So the Seahawks had literally birthed Packcast. So nothing good came out of that game. And then what happened over time was, you know, just grinded on the YouTubes. And now at this point, this is the first time I've been back in Green Bay since 2018. And it's very different in so many ways. Besides just buildings, I go out and people say hi to me now, which is weird. Because in New York, nobody knows who I am, which is what it should be.
Better.
Yeah, which is what it should be. Because now people are like having me sign things and devalue their merchandise and wasting camera space by taking my picture. But no, it's awesome to be back in Green Bay because like there's nothing like it, especially like when you're a transplant and like, you know, and you're off in New York or somewhere else, like you come here, it's just a whole different feel.
It is. I mean, it's my first time up and people say, you know, it's obviously a different feeling. Small market team is very unique, but I think until you're here and you really realize, like, the entire town, city, area of Green Bay is the Packers. Like, I think we're on the stadium tour and What was it? It was around like 80,000 can fit in.
Yeah, yeah, so it's like a little over 80.
Essentially, the entire city of Green Bay could fit inside of Lambeau Field.
Yeah,
and I just think that's like a really perfect analogy for like what this team means to this area.
And you like talking about that, like Titletown years ago, like wasn't there. Like when I first came to Green Bay, like it didn't exist. Like they were breaking ground. They were trying to buy houses, like to be like, hey, we want your sister for a parking lot. And like at this point, like they've blown it up so much and it's like its own. They have like a football field that's there. They have all these breweries that are there and it's just it's awesome, and they really want the draft. But it's like, it, like you said, it's all about the Packers. Like, that's the end-all be-all in this entire city.
Yeah, and like, you, we go out to breakfast, you see players out, like, they just are driving around. It's, nobody's even fazed by it.
No.
It's pretty cool.
So before, I mean, you came to Green Bay, obviously, for training camp and other things, but you also got to talk to somebody special in the Packers organization. If you would like to maybe tease who that is, you don't have to. We can just tell people to check out the podcast next week. But
yeah, no, I sat down with Mark Murphy, the president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers. And again, really quiet offseason. So it was kind of a struggle to come up with content and questions because there wasn't anything. But yeah, we had some conversations, and it was great to talk to him again. And like, he's just super happy that everything is back to some type of normal, and that's on a lot of different fronts. Yeah. And yeah, it was good. It was an interesting conversation, I can say that.
Yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to listening to that, because you've talked to him before, so I mean, yeah. You guys are like buddies now, so
I mean,
the rapport
just a little bit. Yeah, it's funny because, and this is the third time I've spoken to him, and considering everything that's happened in the off season, I think that right now they are just very protective of like what's going on within the organization, because as we saw, media blew every little snippet that came out of complicated fella, or like, you know, the way Murphy was dressed one day, and you know, is he sending a message to Aaron? So they, I had multiple people kind of call and be like, hey, so what are you going to talk about? just to make sure. But yeah, no, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of, it's kind of back to normal, right? So we're at camp and Aaron Rodgers is there.
Yes. Thank God.
It's like, it's normal, but like, I feel like that there's like this tension that's like in the air, and it's not necessarily like bad tension, but it's just like, I feel like this season in particular, like, there's just so much riding on it because we know that there's a...
It's the last one.
It's the last one. Mm-hmm. And, like, it just means, like, a lot. Like, I was in an Uber yesterday, and my Uber driver was talking about Brett Favre, and he was just like, you know, and people, the city still loves him, loves Brett Favre. When Aaron leaves, no one's gonna love him. And I was like, wow, that's harsh. Like, and but that's, like, they're like, that's what
but
happened.
Is that
like,
true?
No, it's totally not true. Like,
no.
That's what happened this offseason, though, is like, you had this really stupid division in which it was like, you need to pick a side. It's the Green Bay Packers or it's Aaron Rodgers, and there's no in between.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean, I was pretty like, I don't know, upset isn't the correct word because I'm not involved in the situation, but I didn't particularly appreciate the way that Aaron handled this offseason personally. And he's back now, and I'm still like, yay, welcome back, love you, can't wait to watch you win, still gonna root for you. Like, it's short-term memory is a thing.
And it's, I mean, like, it's tricky too for him in the situation he's in and the Packers, because now everything that happens for the entirety of the season, whether it's in practice or what he posts on social media, like, every Instagram post now is magnified and dissected, and it's like, oh, what does this mean? Is he implying that this is the way he feels because it's the last time he's ever going to do this? And it's like, Jesus, it's the middle of August.
But
like,
by all accounts, he looks happy to be here.
Yes, he absolutely does.
Like, it's not like he's out there, like, pouting and he's unhappy. Like, he's joking around with the guys. He's giving bear hugs to Josh Myers today. Mm-hmm. He's coaching up Kurt and Jordan. He was having a nice little chat with Kevin King. Kevin King came back to practice today for the first time. So he's like in it. He's ready to win.
Yeah. And like, I don't think that was ever going to be an issue, because it was never like his players and coaches that were the issue.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, he loves the floor.
Yeah.
And so I think that when it's just focusing on that, we're good. Like, we're totally good. And I think that that's kind of, like, the theme of this whole season. It's, like, just focus on this one, because we're not going to talk about next year. Like, this, because
focus on football. That's it. What you're
and, like,
for.
And Goody said in, you know, that press conference that he first did, you know, kind of, like, how, like, the winning, like, cures everything. Like, that's how it, like, kind of fixes things. Like, I'm not saying that that's going to mend the relationship, but people aren't going to be talking about that as much if the Packers are winning.
It makes everything easier when they're winning.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about that too, like, throughout the week, even things we've noticed, like, in training camp, it's just, like, the mood is different, the atmosphere is different. Everybody seems very relaxed and, like, very comfortable and confident, like everybody's just ready to do mm-hmm. what they need to do. And, you know, it's, I know people say like, you know, with salary caps and things, you're kicking the can down the road, but I think, you know, we'd all kind of know what's coming because sure. you can't continue to kick the can down the road. So this season is like a culmination of going all in, which is what this team has wanted for what feels like 10 years.
Yes.
Since like, the last one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, that you talked about, especially during, like, the Ted Thompson years, you know, and everybody's like, we need more free agents, we need to, like, go spend more money, and blah, 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 blah. Like, here you go. Like, yeah. this is it. Like, this, you can't go any more all in than we're in right now.
Yeah.
So, at this point, it's kind of like we're throwing all our eggs in the basket and hoping that it works out.
And we've been watching, mostly, today we spent a little more time with defense. Three of us have been watching the offense majority of the practices. And, like, you're listing all of the weapons now that Rodgers has to throw to this season. And you've got, like, your really big-bodied tight ends and wide receivers. You've got the shifty guys. You have Amari, Broden, Cobb. You've got Josiah DeGuara coming back, who's practicing yeah. today with the ones. Like, this offense is going to be amazing.
I just think it's, like, it's crazy. Like, a lot of people look at the Buccaneers, and they're just, like, they kept everybody, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, Corey Linsley going all-pro center. We replace him with Josh Myers, who, you know, I'm not saying he's an all-pro, but I'm saying, like, you know, he's getting compliments from Rodgers already and et cetera. Jamal Williams, who, love me some Jamal Williams, but mm-hmm. Jamal Williams, you know, but you have A.J. Dillon.
Right.
That's it. Like, yeah. it's the still number one highest scoring offense from last year. And now, again, Josiah DeGuara, if Funchess makes the team, like, Cobb is better. Amari, like you said, there's so much yeah. new that can just take it even further. And it's the same thing with the defense. Like, who did we lose on defense? In fact, Mike Pettine. Like, that's who we lost. Yeah. And you brought yes. in Joe Barry, who the guys seemed to love. And, like, the defense has just been slowly getting better and better. Their run defense was better last year. And besides the NFC Championship game, you know, for the most part, they were solid. So, right. like, they have a really, really high ceiling.
The offense looks amazing, too. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they were the number one offense again this season. They look phenomenal. And, like, it's just another year under Matt LaFleur. It's another year of comfort. It's, you know.
Yeah, and I think there's, like, a, you know, the players have bought in. The young guys have bought in. Even, like, hearing guys like Ty Summers and Oren Burks talk about special teams with Maurice Straton. Like, you know, there's, like, if we're going to win, we have to go in every single phase. Like,
yeah.
I think these guys are realizing whether it's, you know, I am a star player on this defense or I'm just taking a couple snaps on special teams. Like, when you're on the field, this team is very much poised to win a championship. And I think that's one of the things that maybe twisted Rodgers' arm enough to come back for one more season.
Sure.
Because anywhere he would have went, I think if you go pound for pound down the roster, the Packers arguably are one of the four top teams to go all the way.
Yep. Always. Yeah.
Right.
Well, in that sense, too, right, if you're a young guy, like, if you're Amari Rodgers is going to work anyway, but, like, you're Amari Rodgers, you don't know what next year looks like. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, mm-hmm. this might be, and this is nothing on Jordan Love, this might be your only and best chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, in the near future. So, like, yeah, if you're Preston Smith, yeah, you're going to take a little bit of a pay cut to be like, this might be, a way for me to get a ring. So, yeah, I imagine, like, from top to bottom, it's the vets. I mean, you talk about Cobb. He's like, I don't care how many times you throw me the ball. Like, I yeah. just want to win a Super Bowl.
Literally.
Like, that's it.
Literally. Like, and I always find that interesting. Like, I think there's two motivating factors for players to choose teams.
Yeah.
And it's money, obviously.
Of course.
And I get that, right? They have a short shelf life, if yep. you will, in the NFL. And winning. And to me, it feels like if you're joining the Packers this season, you're saying money is probably not something that I'm going to expect. It's the ring that we're going for.
Yeah.
And I'd almost rather have players have that mentality because that means they're going to do whatever it takes to win. Whether, like what you just said, Cobb's like, I don't care how many snaps I take. I don't care if Amari Rodgers is in there more than I am. I don't care if I do nothing.
Yeah.
But I just want to do whatever it takes to win. It's a very, like, team first mentality, and it's been a theme with all their pressers this offseason also since they've gotten back to camp.
Yeah. I just, like, I think that at some point, like, especially, like, the older vets, when, like, they see their own window closing, mm-hmm. right, that they're just like, yeah, like, I'm not going to get those, like, multi-million dollar deals anymore, multi-year deal. Like, you look at a Devontae Adams, like, can go win a ring somewhere else, but he wants to get paid a boatload of money because he can,
yeah.
right? in terms of like a guy who, like, you know, a veteran player, you know, maybe they're aging a bit, like, you know, they don't have too much left in the league, like, this is the place to be. You know, you look at the Buccaneers and like that's what Tom Brady brought them, right? It's like, oh man, we can go win a ring. And then it's honestly a similar story with the Packers.
Yeah, Mercedes Lewis, I think, is a good example of that, too, where, like, you were on a team that was so bad for so long that now it's like, there's a part of me that wonders if he would have retired a couple seasons ago if it wasn't Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, I think that Rodgers feels like this burden of, like, I want to get the vets in the room a ring because him and Crosby are the only ones that have it. Well, no, I know, but, like, and then last season we heard from guys like Jamal Williams that were, like, we want to get the vets a ring. So it's a, like, mm-hmm. a really interesting balance of, like, who guys are playing for and what their motivation is this year.
So wholesome.
I know. It's
really
sweet.
Is. It's like, I just want to get Papa Rodgers a ring.
I mean, same.
Yes, I don't care at this point. Like,
get me in,
like,
there.
Because I said this too, with all the terribleness that happened in this offseason, besides the players, I don't think there is an organization that wants a ring more than the Green Bay Packers, because mm-hmm. if they win a ring, it buys them forgiveness, time, it buys them so many things. Like, they could be terrible for the next 5 years and fans would be like,
it's
got
fine,
a ring.
Got a
like,
ring.
We're good. Like, it's the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Broncos going all in with Peyton Manning, bringing all these defensive players. They win a ring, and then they're like, time to, like, snip, snip, and just,
yeah.
like, we're going to be terrible for a while.
Because the thing is, the Packers are going to have to do that next
right,
season
Right, that's
anyway.
The expectation
Correct.
Already.
Right.
Correct.
So it makes that...
the front office is off.
Yeah. Like, that little sour taste in your mouth
yeah.
about, like, probably having to let some guys go is...
Yeah.
dissipated a little bit with that bling bling on
yeah,
the finger.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's just like, okay, no, we're good. It's,
no,
okay,
yeah,
it's okay. Like,
we did that.
Yeah, okay, we're good. We're
yeah.
fine.
You know, and like, so we did the Hall of Fame yesterday, and it was my first time at the Hall of Fame, and you walk through and you look at all of the championships and all of the trophy and everything that this, like, franchise has accomplished over the last 102 years, and I can't imagine anybody within that organization looking at that, because I walked in and I was like, there's room for one more.
Yeah.
Like, look at all the room there is
yeah.
for more. Like, if I was a player or anybody that was part of the front office, I'd be like, no, we gotta fill this
yeah.
with more. Look at this franchise. Look at what we've built here. Like,
they think they ran out of space now because, like, Woodson, like, made the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So, like,
it was the last
one. Yeah, it's the last one.
Yeah.
So they're like, we have to expand. I'm like, you can't expand into that room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, like, that the trophy room, like, no, that one, you need that. I need that to be wide open just so we can
yeah.
get more of those.
Yeah.
yeah,
there needs to be another in there. It's the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah. It's so crazy walking in there, too, because, like, whether you're, like, a young fan, like, an older fan, like, there's just so much to appreciate. And it's just crazy, like, the history is just, like, so deep with the ownership model. Like, it is fan-owned, and it's just, like, there's such a sense of, like, pride that's there.
Yeah.
And I'm not even from Green Bay, but it's just, like, that's our team.
Well, you hear about the fan ownership, again, like, you and I don't live here. So, like, you hear about the fan ownership, and you're like, oh, ha, it's a piece of paper. But you come here, and we go to practice, and there are thousands of people watching. Not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Today was easy, like, what, 2,000 people
yeah,
just
at least, yeah.
watching practice
mm-hmm.
because the fans have such an investment, both not really financially, but, like, theoretically and
sure.
emotionally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, too, like, it's I'm going to use a terrible analogy. So years ago, I went to this place in the Bahamas, and there was a little pool. And it was, like, the middle of the night or whatever, and, like, it had, like, some lights in it. And I'm walking past, and I'm like, oh, cool, like, maybe you can just, like, stand in the pool or whatever. 2 seconds later, a hammerhead shark, like, literally just, like, swims in the pool. And I'm like, wow, like, there's no barriers, like, there's no any... I feel like it shouldn't be like this. And, like, not saying that our players are hammerhead sharks, but that's a cool analogy. Like, as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool. But it's, like... Aaron Rodgers is, like, 20 feet from you,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing, like, dividing you from Aaron Rod. And, like, they're, like you said, they're just so present and there that, like, on TV, like, they're, like, these mythical, like, put them on, like, a podium, like, pedestal kind of thing. But, like, no, you're 20 feet away from Aaron Rodgers, and you can yell, like, hey, Rodgers, and he might turn around and, like, look at you and, like, acknowledge you.
Say
like,
hi.
That's insane.
Yeah. We waved at MVS yesterday.
Yeah.
He was like, hey.
Hey. What's going on, MVS?
He's fast.
He is.
Okay, let's now turn to training camp observations. That's a good segue.
Thank you. That's my astute observation. MVS is fast.
Okay, well, it's the
great
first
show.
Yeah. Mercedes Lewis is large.
Yes.
All right, so the first preseason game obviously is Saturday. Mm-hmm. All of us will be there. Players that you will be watching in particular, anybody that you're most excited about. Obviously, we know that Aaron Rodgers and a lot of the vets aren't playing, so love show and...
I think some of the starters are playing. Like, I would imagine Devontae will be in for, like, one series.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't see why not.
He's been also, when Love is throwing the ball, like, when they're just not, when they're not doing 11-11, I notice, like, Devontae's always lining up on his side, like, so he's getting, like, those reps. Like, the Green Bay Packers really want Devontae Adams back. Yes. Like, they want him back bad.
They should.
And because, like, again, like, you look at it. They have starting left tackle for your, you know, next franchise QB. You have the best wide receiver in the league for your franchise, like, next franchise QB. Like,
best cornerback in the league.
Like, you're set. Like, mm-hmm. you're literally saying, listen, if you're not successful, it's not because of us.
Well, the building, they have to put in the building blocks to give him a chance to be successful.
Yes.
And, like, all those blue chip players are there, and they look great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone talks about Devontae Adams' footwork and his, like, release off the line, and, like, I get that you can see it in games, but oh my god, seeing that up close, it's like, how can you control your body like that?
I broke my ankle watching.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of the things too, like, you know, talking about how you're surrounding Love with positions, obviously AJ Dillon is really young. Aaron Jones just came back. You've got a really young, really talented offensive line room too, like, locked up David Bakhtiari. You might lose Billy Turner next season, that makes sense, but the Packers obviously are trying to build a long-term offensive line. You have Elgton Jenkins, who's going to get paid.
Yes.
They just drafted a center. You've got Ben Braden, who's been looking really good. John Runyon Jr. is young. Lucas Patrick. Mm-hmm. Even, like, Royce Newman, if he plays tackle. Like, there's a chance that this offensive line can be together for the next 4 years while Love, you know, transitions and starts his career with the team, having one of the best units in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is more important than protecting your young quarterback and giving him a clean pocket.
Especially because that's one of the things we saw in camp, is that when he's flustered, you know.
So that was something, obviously, that was, like, being reported by, like, beat writers and everything like that. Like, but seeing that in person, he's a young QB. Like, and that's why, like, I am so encouraged. I think there's going to be so many eyes on this preseason game.
Yeah.
Maybe not with the best of intentions from some folks, but it's because, like, you know, the minute he throws an interception, it's going to be,
this
is the worst thing ever.
But, like, let him get those reps. Let him make those mistakes in these preseason games when they don't matter so he can learn from them. Like, the live pressure in preseason, barring, you know, he's fine, is he needs to, like, get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really important. I'd rather not throw him in there week one and you've got, like, Khalil Mack bearing down on him, right?
He's like, I never took a snap before.
He's like, do I get an asterisk?
Yeah, I haven't played in a year and a half. Like, please.
But he does look better. I mean, by all counts, like, footwork's better. Going through his reads are better. He's taken off with his legs a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's got some athletic ability.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's the thing, too. Like, he is a first rounder, right? Like, he's a first rounder that the Packers really liked. Like, that.
He was getting Pat Mahomes comps during the draft. Like, people forget that.
Yeah. And it's mostly because of, like, his last season at college and stuff like that. But again, I'm not going to make excuses for Jordan Love. Like, because the interceptions were up. He had no weapons to throw to. Offensive line wasn't good.
New coach.
Like, everything, right? At the same time, none of that matters, right? Mm-hmm. Because you see people blow it up in college and then come to the NFL and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I think that for Jordan Love, like, this is going to be so incredibly valuable because it's just as close as you could possibly simulate to a real game as you can. And I'm really, really curious to see what he can actually do and bring, and more, like, what he can just learn from this.
Yeah.
Because that's honestly all that matters. Like, he could be garbage on Saturday, but as long as he's, like, okay, like, 1% better, because people, again, Aaron Rodgers was bad.
Yeah.
He was bad for years. Like, bad, bad, bad.
My expectations are low. Like, I just want to see what he does when it's, like, a live game.
Yeah.
Like, how consistent can you be? Can you move the ball down the field at all? Like, can you go through your reads and get the ball out? That's it. Like, the bar is very low.
Very.
Also, it doesn't hurt that we're playing the Texans.
Yeah, they could start all their veterans. And I'm like...
We're good.
It's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I think other guys, like obviously Jordan Love, but this is huge for like Patrick Taylor, who's coming back, and he hasn't played since, even Devin Funchess, if he, I know he got a little dinged up at practice today, but he hasn't played since 2019. So
Week 2, 2019.
Right, yeah. So there's a lot of players that are coming out of college fresh, even like an A.J. Dillon. And I know we saw him a little bit in the towards the end of the season, but there's a lot of guys who are really young who are going to really need some of these reps, whether it's, you know, even a Josh Jackson who's trying to make the roster.
I mean, I'm also thinking about, like, Eric Stokes.
Right.
Yeah. Like, let him...
Just finally not being on Davante Adams. He's just like, thank God, anybody else.
Yeah, you know, but also just game speed is so different from practice, and there's zero way to replicate that. And we saw young corners get smoked in their first games because you just can't put it all together yet.
And that's a thing, too. Like, people really criticized like the Kevin King re-signing and like joked about it and all that stuff, but transitioning, like, look at the Lions with Okuda. How did he do last year? Like, near the end he started like improving a little bit, but he also like gave up a ton of, like, it wasn't good because it's such a dip, like that and tight end, like they're so difficult to try and transition that,
because you're not going up against, like, how many college teams are you playing where you're going up against a wide receiver who's like NFL level. Very few. Stokes did do that, but I'm saying like very few and not every game.
Correct.
And then you get to the NFL and likely like wide receiver 3 is better than the wide receivers you were going up against in college.
Percent.
And so like just the jump is really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Also, Josiah DeGuerra. All about it. All aboard the DeBerger train.
I mean, nobody lights Matt LaFleur up like Josiah DeBerger.
Yeah, seriously. Like, someone will ask a question, and he's gonna, like, if he's wearing sunglasses, he'll, like, put them down and be like, Josiah. And he just, like, goes into, like, a love ballad, and I'm like, yes. Yes.
And I think one of the things I'm really curious about on the defensive side of the ball, too, like, is what are we going to see from Joe Barry? I mean, I know the preseason's always kind of vanilla, but, like, I'm curious, you know, Perry and I have joked about the use of dime, and it doesn't seem like that's going to be as much the case under Barry like it was under Mike Pettin. So, like, what kind of packages do they roll out, and how does he look on third down? Does he play 10 yards off the line on third and two? Like, what are we going to get in the preseason from Joe Barry?
Practice has been, like, basically nickel is space.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like in practice.
I'm very excited to see him develop those linebackers and how he's going to utilize them. Like, Kamal Martin.
Can we
talk
about Devondre Campbell for a second?
Yeah, we can. We can talk a few seconds.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I don't know if it's just a vet thing and he can come in to another team and, like, pretty seamlessly make his way, or that's just a special Devondre Campbell thing.
Sure.
But it really looks like he's been there forever. Like, he's a natural. Mm-hmm. He's just in the middle. He's directing guys.
Yep.
He's so smooth.
And they're so young. Like, that's it. They're so young at that position. Like, if there was anywhere to go get a vet, that's where it was, right? And I think that to have someone with that skill set, just to have that experience,
right,
and just be like, no, you go here.
Well, they
like,
tried that with Christian Kirksey,
correct,
and it unfortunately
didn't work out
the way that they had hoped that it would. But this feels like a similar, like, okay, we got to go out and get someone who knows the position, who hopefully will stay healthy, and kind of coach up both Chris Barnes and Kamal Martin, because they've got a lot of talent and a lot of potential.
I mean, that is a benefit of Campbell, is he's always, I mean, he played 16 out of 16 games, like, his entire career, and he's played, like, 80% of snaps or more, basically, since his rookie season. And, you know, I think you look at, like, a Ty Summers or an Oren Burks, and there's guys that maybe should fit, or they're athletic enough to be what you would expect, like, a sideline-to-sideline inside linebacker to be. And then you see them next to Devondre Campbell, and you see Devondre Campbell do it exactly how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I think Packers fans maybe don't know enough about him yet to be excited, but, like, he can hang with a guy like Malik Taylor over the middle of the field, and most inside linebackers don't do that, regardless of who the wide receiver is. Like, you normally aren't that quick. You normally can't hang with wide receivers.
No, he looks great.
He does.
And it's a lot, it's been also a lot of, like, him and, like, Adrian Amos being pulled out into the box and, like, being able to, when you have someone solid like Campbell in the middle there, it allows Joe Barry to use all the safeties in the corners in the unique and fun ways that we know and want him to. It's just, like, a kind of, like, staple.
And I think it also, like, it kind of allows them to address, like, other weaknesses, right? So you're just like, oh, okay, like, maybe, you know, opposite Jair Alexander, you know, Stokes is still learning, you know, Kevin King sometimes good, like, sometimes inconsistent.
Let's, pull a safety over there.
Exactly. Right. Let's give that guy some help. So, yeah, I mean, oh, God, if we don't have to worry about the middle of the field every minute, this is going to be so nice. This is going to be weird, but it's going to be so nice because... I mean, that's just something that has been a weak spot, and we tried to address it
every year.
We've been trying to address it ever since. We were like, hey, Clay, yeah, you know how you're the outside? No, you're gonna go inside, buddy. We're gonna do that for you.
Yeah, literally, that's a really good Clay, I think, is when it all kind of...
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Anybody else have final thoughts on either training camp, looking forward to in the preseason, roster predictions,
ooh,
things you liked in Green Bay?
I mean, we didn't even talk about Ennis Gaines.
That's true, we didn't.
What are we doing
so
here?
Everyone's talking about Ennis Gaines, so can we just reiterate we agree? He looks great.
Obviously.
Yeah, Ennis Gaines is making the roster. I think that's a fair...
Yeah.
Six or seven wide receivers?
Six.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be six. I'm backing up from my four running backs. I think they'll keep three and stash one on the practice squad.
I think Dexter goes practice squad, and because Kylan Hill's been getting a lot of reps with Aaron Jones out.
Kylan Hill was in with the ones today.
Yes, he was.
He looked good.
Telling you, seventh round.
We're gonna be
the steal of the century. Because I will be very honest. When we drafted, I had no idea who Kylan Hill was. He's a seventh round guy. I went back and watched his tape, and the amount of, like, oh, he hurdled a guy. Oh, he did it again. Oh, he did it again. Like, that man, like, is like, oh, Mario, let's do it. And, like, he's got some gifts.
We're going to be talking about how we have no idea how he slid in the draft in, like, a couple of games.
Mm-hmm. 1,000,000%. And yeah. I'm all about it. Yeah. That wide receiver, like, that wide receiver room, like, because, again, like, now we're talking about, oh, man, we have so many weapons. What do we do?
Yeah.
But, like,
how did we get here?
Because, again, it's just we have so many tight ends that we can keep on there, too. And, like, you know, and we kept five wide receivers last year. It's going to be tough. I mean, like, EQ.
It just feels like there's no way now. Like, he wasn't even practicing.
He wasn't practicing, so. I mean, I think there's, like, avenues. You know, Jace has suspended a couple games, so.
Yep. They can sketch on a guy on the roster.
If Devin Funchess, you know, hopefully he's healthy, but if for whatever reason he's injured and he has to start the season on, like, a pup list, then maybe you bring in a guy like Juwan Winfrey. DeAndre Tompkins is not getting talked about a lot, but I think he looks incredible. He has to make the practice squad, or he'll go elsewhere, I think. But, yeah, this is going to be fun. Saturday's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Very excited.
But... Any final thoughts?
No, just as our guest, please tell people where they can find all your work.
For me, TomGrassiComedy.com. Just type in Tom Grassi, you'll see the face that's attached to this Muppet voice. And yeah, that's it. That's it. It's Grassi, by the way. It's not Grossy. So, you know, just saying.
Okay. Sore subject. You can find me on Twitter at Perry_Goldstein. Please follow the podcast at PWSS Podcast on Twitter, Pax What She Said on Instagram, and on Twitch. Maggie, take it away.
You can find me on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney. I write for Cheese Hut TV. Perry and I are also both with the Pack a Day podcast crew. So thank you, as always, for listening to the show. Go Pack Up.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
And Jones out in front. They're trying to chase him down. He's inside the 10, and he is in for the touchdown.
The title is...